It is a State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We dig into the shortage of paramedics, emergency medical technicians, EMTs, how to fund emergency medical services in rural areas, and policy proposals on the horizon. State lawmakers start their work over the next 2 years' state budget after the new year. Call in with your questions about EMS service challenges, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. James Small is EMS Outreach Manager for the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. James, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me this morning.
You've said fire and EMS departments around Wisconsin have struggled to meet service needs for years now. What is the situation facing rural EMS services?
Well, I think right now, not just rural in Wisconsin, but it's some suburban, some urban departments too are experiencing a decline in their ability to provide the service. It's more exasperated in the rural communities because of the distance between services and so on. But what we're seeing out there is that probably about one in three ambulance service providers are not able to provide service 24/7, 365 right now.
Wow.
We're also seeing that an additional about one third of those are in a position where their ability to sustain their own ability to provide that 24/7, 365 service is being compromised in the near future. So we're really entering this time period right now with the ability to provide 911 ambulance service where it's compromised and might be pretty precarious in some areas to get that service.
Some people listening to those statistics might say, I wonder if he's talking about my area, for my home, where I live. A lot of residents in Wisconsin may feel like they live in a rural area, a sparsely populated area. As you look at that data, are there parameters that define where the most critical issues are?
Well, I think when you start looking at like the further north, northern areas of the state in particular, those are areas where you have a EMS provider that tends to be older too, in addition to being shortage of people. And that's just the nature of the demographics of some of the northern counties. And when I say northern, I'm referring to maybe north of Highway 10. Think of like the northern half and the southern half of the state. I think the northern areas are seeing bigger challenges with this because of their geography. Older populations, it's harder to find people who are willing to come and volunteer at the services or have the ability to volunteer at the services.
And stop right there on volunteer, because I think we want to get at the heart of this really quickly. How are volunteer shortages an issue here as you look at how EMS is run in Wisconsin?
Well, many of the rural communities are using volunteers or near volunteers to provide that service. And I think what we need to do is step back a little bit and think about what that volunteer is doing. That volunteer is personally subsidizing the cost of that 911 ambulance service to their community. So rather than the taxpayer paying for that, the EMT that's volunteering is taking on that cost personally by providing the service for nearly no cost. And so by doing that, what we're depending on is that there's people that are willing to do that and people that want to come in and provide that service or have the ability to do that. You know, if you're working two other jobs to keep a roof over your head, volunteering down the street at the fire department isn't an easy thing to do.
Mm. Is it also true that some EMS workers spend hundreds of dollars out of pocket for the certifications that are necessary?
Yes. In some cases, that's what happens where the department that they want to join does not have the financial ability to pay for their schooling, so they'll pay for it themselves as part of their volunteering process.
So why do rural EMS services get into this situation so heavily dependent on volunteers? Why can't they create a different model?
Well, right now, the ability to generate the revenue to hire full-time staff just doesn't exist in a lot of these communities. You know, there's been levy limits. The shared revenues that come through the state budget have been are at the same level right now as they were in 1993. Mm-hmm. There just isn't the funding available to do it. And some of the communities don't have the tax base that would support those level of taxes to begin with.
You're the outreach person, and you know your office created this EMS outreach program to help serve rural providers and connect them with resources out there. How is that going?
Well, I think what we've learned in the 6 months since this position started is that the situation's a lot worse than we thought it was. We knew it was bad, but the sheer number of services that are struggling is enormous. And that we're at a position, a situation right now, I think, as a state, is that we have to decide in this next legislative session how we want to support these services. How are we going to provide efficient and cost-effective services across the state? Because it's not just a matter of putting a whole lot of money out there and saying, hey, do good things. We have to have a plan that goes with that so that we can provide the services in an efficient way that respect the taxpayer too. So, you know, going out there, figuring out how do we improve the ability for people to get training.
Oh, James Small, breaking up. I'm just going to reintroduce you here a moment. I'm hoping the line can stabilize as we talk about the challenges of rural EMS services and what they face. James Small is the EMS Outreach Program Manager for the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. You can join in at 800-642-1234. James, can you still hear us?
Yes, I can. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. And so I want to just pick up there on what that looks like for you as you at the start of this next legislative session. If EMS needs a sustainable funding model, what does that look like in a rural area? What does your plan entail?
Well, we know the issue surrounds financial considerations and people. So we need money to be able to pay for people and then get those people trained and get those people in place. We've done a reliability study.
Oh, we're breaking up again. You're going to have to try to start that again. I'm sorry. We're having some of the difficulty here in hearing you.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a financial and a people issue. Mm-hmm. So what we've done at our office is we've done a study of the 911 ambulance infrastructure, looking at reliability and sustainability measures to try to get a feel for what's actually going on out there. And what we're going to do is provide that data to the state legislature as part of their decision-making process as they go forward through this legislative session so that we can target into areas that are the most beneficial to keeping the services in place, making sure that each of these communities have good, reliable ambulance service and that the dollars that get put in that are used in an efficient way that provide for good service and sustainable service going forward.
The best return on investment possible. James, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me today.
James Small is EMS Outreach Program Manager for the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. There is more conversation ahead on the challenges facing emergency medical services. Join in with your questions, your thoughts about first responders, 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin EMS Association represents more than 6,000 emergency medical services workers in hundreds of EMS organizations. We look at their funding challenges as lawmakers prepare to debate a new two-year state budget plan next month. Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Alan DeYoung leads the Wisconsin EMS Association. Alan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So the association plans to ask the legislature for about $500 million as a baseline for statewide EMS funding. Can you explain what you're asking for from the legislature?
Yeah, we're not really concerned, I guess, where exactly the money comes with at this time, because we just know that there needs to be a base level of funding, because we, as James Small earlier kind of talked about, as we rely on volunteers so heavily, it's literally 79% of all departments in our state currently rely on volunteers to staff their schedules. And so we have this huge volunteer model, and we need the necessary funding kind of to slowly to start to move from a, you know, we're relying on volunteers and out of pocket to relying on, hey, we're actually going to pay people, hopefully a living wage at some point here, to provide the necessary life-saving services that they do.
Can you give us a sense of the level of time commitment from these volunteers? How much do volunteer EMS workers give them themselves?
Well, I can say most departments, when you volunteer, have some sort of requirement. They try to say, hey, at least, you know, volunteer, you know, 10 hours a month or something. But right now, a lot of those volunteers are kind of being pushed to their limits, where I literally spoke to an individual just a few months ago where, you know, she worked over 600 hours. And you say, how is that possible? Well, she covered 24/7, 6 days a week, because at the moment they have nobody else. She's got no other backup. They're down to their last three EMTs that are covering 24/7, 365. And not being paid. I mean, they're being paid a stipend at the moment of $3 an hour for those 600 hours in that month. So it can be pretty grueling for some volunteers, especially, you know, that individual being in their 60s, you know, hoping to retire. And yet we're still dependent on volunteers in that community.
When you say you want to at least establish a living wage for this workforce, for this largely volunteer workforce, what might that look like? What would be a living wage?
Well, the fact that we look at, you know, some of the other fast food retail that don't require any significant training in terms of a state license, and you have to go through a program, and they're making anywhere from 15 to almost 20 an hour in some cases in retail. Yet we're asking people, you know, to save lives, work 24-hour shifts or even longer, and we're telling them we're not going to pay you $4 an hour. We're not going to even pay you a minimum wage, and that's just due to the funding. There's a lack of funding that is there right now. I mean, we're not going to move immediately from volunteer to entirely paid, but I think there should be good movement towards getting to a model where when we're recruiting for, you know, EMTs, paramedics, at any level, when we're recruiting for people, we're actually going to tell them, yeah, we can pay, you know, for you to go to school, or we can pay when you get out of school. And it's going to be something that you can at least live on in that area. So I would hope at a minimum it would be, $15 an hour or more. But I know we're not going to get to that point immediately. But we're hoping for kind of a baseline to get started moving towards that.
How likely is that this $500 million of baseline funding, how likely do you think it is to be apportioned for statewide funding?
Well, we're obviously very hopeful, because we're imploring legislators to look at the situation currently, you know, the kind of direness of staffing schedules, the calls being unanswered, and, you know, only due to basically staffing and not having those people. And then when one community, you know, can't staff their ambulance, they call for mutual aid, and that, you know, hurts other communities as well. It's good for short-term, you know, use only. But when we keep going that way, it's kind of a domino effect. So, you know, when we start seeing drop calls of, you know, a couple of calls that are being dropped, which, you know, could be a mother, could be a family member, could be a father who needs help. And that's, we're going to see those increase over time. And it's, I don't want to say it's a matter of time before somebody dies because of an unmissed call, but I mean, that's the reality of it. So we are hopeful that the legislature is listening and can understand the true direness of we've been dependent on volunteers for a public service for so long that this model can't exist anymore in terms of purely volunteers in some areas. We need to give people a baseline.
Let's take stock, though, just for a moment here, because since February, the Evers administration tallied up and said that they've directed more than $69 million to support EMS providers in areas around the state. What impact has that money made?
So I'll say that definitely we're appreciative of that, because a lot of that funding actually went towards big equipment. You know, equipment, life-saving equipment is not cheap. It is very expensive, like a Lucas device, which is, you know, does basically CPR, you know, automated CPR for first responders. Those devices are very expensive, and other things like UTVs, we're talking about in very rural areas that can't get an ambulance out to where they need to be to rescue somebody. They need a UTV. Again, very expensive equipment. A lot of these things have been pushed off and just said, well, we just can't buy it. We just don't have the money. So a lot of those funds went towards, I know, towards purchasing large equipment. They went towards trying to help get people into school. You know, maybe we can use that funding temporarily for training and getting people into a program. We not necessarily paying them afterwards in some areas, but at least we can do, you know, something with that money. So definitely it was appreciative, and it helped with establishing, you know, getting a lot more equipment and supplies that are needed. And that's actually kind of why our ask is so much higher than that, because in order to establish a baseline, we need a substantial amount just so, hey, some of these rural areas, like you talked, James Small mentioned, don't have the tax base to go to referendum like we've seen many of. And so they need kind of the state to step in and provide some funding. Otherwise, those areas are going to get even more dire.
Alan DeYoung is executive director of the Wisconsin EMS Association. As we look at the challenges of Wisconsin's EMS system around the state, you can join in at 800-642-1234. The State Department of Health Services also earlier this year awarded $32 million in EMS flex grants to over 400 EMS providers. Have these flex grants been effective at all in addressing the issues in rural areas and in volunteerism in EMS?
Well, actually, kind of that's the funding I was kind of mentioning earlier.
Okay.
Purchasing those equipment and supplies that are needed. I know a lot of the flex grants went towards things like that.
I see. Okay. What about EMS being an essential service in Wisconsin? What impact would that designation make?
Well, we've pushed for that in many years, and we still hope it becomes an essential service. Currently, it's 14 states in the United States that are considered essential. Some of them have funding tied to their essential status, and some of them do not. And so that's why if we made EMS essential by state law, it doesn't necessarily mean there's funding that'll go along with it, and which that puts the burden back on the communities to, you know, go to a referendum, try to, you know, get past any type of levy limits in any way that way, because, like I said, it's hard to tax a community of, let's say, 62 people, like one of our smallest towns in Wisconsin here. They're not going to vote to tax themselves, you know, hundreds of dollars more just to have an EMS department. And so there needs to be some type of state funding that, you know, allows for, you know, some coverage in multiple communities. If there needs to be consolidation, some areas their consolidation doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need that funding kind of across the board.
My thoughts keep going back to this EMS, volunteer EMS provider working 24/7 for days on end. But if there is a low volume of 911 calls that require an ambulance in rural areas, and you just don't have that volume, that too would be an issue as you try to address the balance for what is necessary, and you look at consolidation. How do you make that tricky balance when you don't have the volume of calls?
It's normally, looking at what is it a kind of an appropriate response time. I mean, you can kind of take an example of just in the city of Milwaukee, they've had to raise the appropriate, like what's an acceptable level of response time from 30 minutes to allow an acceptable level of an hour. And that seems kind of extreme when you say I'm dialing 911, minutes count, seconds count. And so especially in many rural communities, you can't have a station everywhere. So you have to look at what's the appropriate amount of time that you can still take action on something or get to the scene, and then as well as get to a hospital, because in many areas, we have some counties that have just one hospital and that's it. So you need to be able to look at the access, to EMS as one factor in terms of covering multiple communities. And that's where some areas too, they struggle a little bit because it's a 30-minute ride, from the station to the scene and then another 30 minutes to the hospital. And we're relying on, I could say, in those areas, EMTs versus saying, hey, we if we had more funding, we can rely on a paramedic level or something like that to be able to, stabilize the patient more because they're able to do more in their scope. But right now, we're in those areas, we're not even paying them.
Alan, thank you for bringing this issue forward, and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Alan DeYoung is Executive Director of the Wisconsin EMS Association. And earlier, we talked with James Small from the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.